This episode is sponsored by Aldi.
Life with a newborn is amazing, but why does no one tell you how many nappies they go through? That's why finding nappies that fit, are gentle against your baby's skin, and don't break the bank is so important.
Sign up on NetMums and you'll receive a voucher to claim one full-size pack of Aldi Mammy and Newborn nappies, totally free.
Sounds good to us. Now, on with the show.
You're listening to the NetMums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Jennifer Howes. On this week's show...
My boys love the guys. Like the best thing for them is just to come to our studio and hang out or come to a show and hang out backstage.
But before all of that... Hello, hello, and welcome back to another new episode of the NetMums podcast. Today, I have a child homesick... She's shared her lurgy. I've got the lurgy. I'm in a grump. So I'm hoping that I'm going to be cheered up by today's guest. Jen, how are you?
I'm fine, Wendy. Yes, we're very excited because today we're joined by a guest who's a singer, songwriter, author, and dad. Welcome, Tom Fletcher. He is one of the UK's best-selling children's authors. He's written 25 children's books, including a new one, Space Band, that's released on the 13th of October. He's releasing an album to coincide with the publication. Maybe not so surprising if you know he is also part of McFly. He's penned 10 UK number one singles and 21 top 10 singles. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you so much. What a fantastic intro. It's lovely. I just want you to come everywhere with me. Be like that every day. Be a lovely thing to wake up to.
He's like, here's Tom. Did you know?
Yeah.
So the book is inspired by your own experiences of obviously being in a band, and then somehow along the way, there's an album that brings the story to life. How did that happen?
Well, I've wanted to write about a band for a long time. I think since I started writing books, when my first novel was a Christmas book and I loved Christmas, but I remember back then thinking, oh, I wonder if I should write about a band actually, because that has been I've been in my band for 20 years. So it's been... You know, all I know really is life in a band. But I didn't. I decided to write Christmas books about Christmas dinosaurs first.
Pooing dinosaurs, might
and
we
yeah,
add.
Pooping dinosaurs, yep. No, so I'd known I'd wanted to write about a band for quite some time. And then I actually pitched this idea to my eldest son, who's 8. I pitched it to him like 2 or 3 years ago. Because whenever I go sit down to write a book, I always have, you know, like 4 or 5 ideas that I'm... Usually I have 4 or 5 ideas I'm toying with, and one will just kind of stick or be the one that stays in my mind. And I test them out on my kids because they're the perfect age for my books now. So I get to see what is their initial reaction just to like the broad one paragraph, you know, idea of the book. And I've just never seen him respond so well to any of my ideas before. Like he literally, by the time I hadn't even got halfway through the one line pitch of it, and he took over telling me what the story should be and got so animated with it. And my wife started filming him as well because he was so animated with it that he fell over. He got so excited by the idea. So I was like, okay, I need to write this book. And then as I was writing it, I decided that it would be in first person and it would be the lyric book of the main character. So it's you're reading him, writing his experiences down. He's called George. He's writing his experiences down to hopefully find inspiration for some lyrics. So the songs kind of came about through writing the lyrics that he was writing in the book.
So did you ever think back in the days of Teenage McFly that you'd release a lead single called Nothing Rhymes with Sausage?
Well, back in the early days of McFly, I'm surprised we didn't have a song called that already. I mean, we had songs called
Good point.
Broccoli, yeah. And, you know, 5 Colors, and they had some odd song titles. So yeah, it probably would have fit in back in the day. Now, I think that's actually one of the really fun things about making albums like this is that it kind of gives us a bit of freedom to be silly and have fun. Like we recorded the Space Band album right off the back of recording McFly's next album. And honestly, like the difference, when you're recording your album as a band, you put so much pressure on it and you're trying to second guess everything. And, you know, you've got 4 people's, well, our opinions in the band, but then the extended McFly family, you have to, you know, you care about what they think and your record label, all that. With Space Band, it was just, let's just go and have fun and be silly. And we did it so quick. Like we recorded the whole album in about a week, which is, you know, Don't tell our record label, because it's taken us about a year to make the McFly album. The Space
Maybe there's one. A lesson there.
I know, yeah. I don't know how. But thanks. Do you know what, actually, it came about because Harry Judd, who's our drummer, he and my best friends, I'd finished writing the Spaceman book and we were on tour, and he knew what the book was about and knew I'd written lyrics for it. And he was like, well, you're going to record those songs though, right? Because not many authors write songs. It's something that you do that not many authors do. And I said, well, I've got the songs, but I just don't have, I just haven't got the time to do it. And he was like, right, when we get back, we're freeing the week we get back from tour. We're in Brazil. We're all writing out the diary and we'll give ourselves a week to record it. And so I was like, okay, sure, if you guys are up for it. So Danny produced it. We all recorded it. And it's basically down to Harry Judd, really.
My God, I love this. We got back from Brazil. We recorded an album in a week. Another one of my books is coming out, plus another album. What's it like, doing all this, vlogging as well, and juggling three young boys?
Stressful, highly stressful. No, I love my jobs. They're not really jobs. It's just fun. It's, it's what most people do for hobbies. I get to play guitar and jump around on stage and pretend to be a rock star for a while. And then I get to isolate myself in I'm in my wife's office at the moment, but I have my little space where I get to close the door and write books. I love what I do. It's amazing, but I just can't say no. I overcommit to too much. So it becomes, the juggle is just, it's not even a juggle anymore. It's a complete hailstorm of deadlines and trying to prioritize things. It's pretty hectic, it's pretty crazy. But obviously, on top of that, yeah, being a dad.
Well, and Mrs. Fletcher's not exactly a non-busy woman, is she? Let's be honest.
No, and she's away, she's working, she's filming in Italy for 3 weeks. She's not here at the moment, she's busy. So yeah, she is also, more busy than me a lot of the time. So it's challenging.
Now, I was all set to ask about your broken arm in a Spider-Man cast, but it's clearly not yours. Which boy's got a broken arm?
It was Buzz, our eldest. He, the weekend before going back to school, he fell in the shower and chipped his front tooth. And the next day, he broke his arm at the skate park. So he just got knocked off his scooter and broke his wrist. So, yeah, he had a bit of a bad weekend. But, I mean, he is loving having his arm in a cast that looks like I say he got a red cast. It's his favorite color. And then he asked me to draw the Spider-Man. Make it look like it was Spider-Man's arm. So, I mean, I remember being a kid and really wanting to break a bone so I can have a cast.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Yeah, he wants that attention. Then now he's got the Spider-Man cast. He's loving life at the moment.
So what's it like being, you guys put yourself in full view of the public, and is there actually loads of stuff you keep hidden? Or, do we see Fletcher's warts and all? I get the feeling we see you guys pretty much as you live your lives most of the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you know what? I would say just over a year ago, maybe a bit more than that, I decided to just slow down on social media. It just becomes a big part of being, if you have something to promote, like if you're in a band, if you're a musician, or if you're an author, you need to have some sort of presence on social media. And the people who, whether it's your record label or your publisher, rely on you to promote it through those channels. And then I kind of, and then I think that just went to a place where I was just like, actually, I'm doing stuff that I don't need to do. And it takes up so much time and stress that I never set out to be, and not that I have a problem with the word influencer or people where that is their job. It's an amazing that people can create a career out of being an influencer on social media, but that wasn't what I set out to do and what I had any aspiration to do. I love being in a band and I love being an author. And so I just kind of thought, well, actually, I'll do the bits that I need to do of that social media stuff and the bits that I generally just find fun sharing things. Like I'm proud of the Spider-Man cast I made for my kids, so I'll put that on social media. But in terms of vlogging and doing daily vlogs and all of that stuff that I used to do, I'm just like, man, I just don't have the time or the energy. I'd rather put that time and energy into doing something that I find more kind of creatively fulfilling, like writing a song or a book or doodling on my son's arm.
Yes. What about the boys and their kind of part of that, the social media picture? How do they feel about it? What will you do if they at one point say, they become teenagers and are like, Dad,
Yeah, well, it's interesting because at the moment it's a I'm trying to find, like most parents, I think now you're trying to find a balance of, you know, whether you're in the public eye or not. Most people have a social media account, and I think most parents have that question of, oh, should I share this picture of my kid at the beach or should I not? And you know, we have that as well. And added to that, the fact that people pay attention to what we say because we're in the public eye. So yeah, it's a real balancing act, and there's certainly things that we don't show, you know, like just mainly for our kids' privacy. I feel like we always just like to give an honest portrayal of who we are. You know, when we are tired and grumpy, I will say that, or I just won't post because I'm too, you know, depressed to post myself on social media. But it's more of a balance of, oh, like things like, oh, we don't post pictures of our kids in their school uniform, for example. That's something we don't do.
Although you do post pictures of yourself and Emma and Matt outside the school gates.
But you should see the process of like, okay, where can you tell where that tree is? Can you tell where the road is? Do anyone know it? Like, there's always that feeling of like, right, what is it you need to keep for just for you, you know, and just for us, or just for thinking, well, people shouldn't know that because it's just safer for our family and for the kids if they don't know that. It's been a juggling, you know, and we're learning it as we go along. No one's got it, you know, figured out. I feel like I've probably overshared over the years, and there's some stuff as well where you think, oh, I wish I'd said that at the time because that moment's gone, and it would have been better if I'd have shared how I was feeling then, but yeah, that moment's passed now. So yeah, I mean, it's an interesting kind of world we live in, isn't it? And the kids are definitely more, you know, especially Buzz, our 8-year-old, he's aware of it. And there's some things where he's like, Dad, can you put this on Instagram? Because, you know, it'd be something he's really proud of. Like, he just learned the national anthem on a guitar solo. And he was, the first thing he said when I recorded, he wanted me to film and do it. He was like, can you put it on Instagram and send it to all my friends? Can you send it to McFly? Can you send it, like, he wants everyone to see it. But then interestingly, we were on holiday and I took a picture of him in the sunset. And I put the Star Wars, I was going to post it. You know, it's like one of those typical like Instagram themes, like, you know, his silhouette in the sunset, but it looked like that bit of Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. So I put the Star Wars soundtrack on it and he heard it coming out of my phone. And I, just as I pressed send, he got really funny and was like, don't put that on Instagram. And it's the first time he'd ever said that. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And totally caught me off guard. I thought, oh, I need to really check with him now, like, and make sure it's, he's okay with it. He's totally aware of that world.
And it's different, isn't it? Like, if my daughter says, can you put something on Instagram, about 300 people see it. Whereas if you do it, there's a few more. So it is that question with your kids as they get older of, how willing are you for me to do this? And at what point do they start doing it as well?
Well, yeah, I know. That's the thing. And I don't want the fact that we do it, and it's part of our jobs to do that, to make them feel like they need to do it earlier than they should, you know. I feel like it's something that they, you know, because they've been quite late to the game in terms of getting things like, well, just using like the internet and screens and iPads and things like that. We were really like, it just wasn't really in their world. Like, they thought iPads only worked on airplanes because that's the only time we let them have them on long haul flights. That's the thing.
Brilliant.
It's a great hack for parents there. They only work on airplanes. That's the only time they came out. But that, it just wasn't really in our lives, that thing. And I've been trying to kind of hold off on the technology, social media, video game world that, you know, that I know
I
a lot
of... Lots of parents are trying. Yeah. It's a really tough line to walk, isn't it? To know what to do.
Yeah, it really, really is challenging. And yeah, and also because, you know, we don't, you know, things that some of their friends might do, for example, won't work for us because we're famous. So it doesn't work in the same way. But like you said, you know, people pay attention to what we post and what we do. So it's challenging at times.
No matter what stage of parenting you're at, from pregnancy through to the toddler years, we all need a little help. And Audi's on hand with advice and support every step of the way.
Head to the Bump, Birth and Beyond Hub under New Parents on netmums.com for a whole host of useful information, from tried and tested birth tips to bedtime routines for babies.
And while you're there, make sure you sign up for your free pack of Aldi Mammy and Newborn Nappies. It takes less than 30 seconds. We've timed it, by the way. And you'll get a voucher for a free full-size pack.
Now, back to the show. Talking about kind of fame, you know, are your kids pretty blasé about, you know, the parties you'll go to, the people you'll have around the house, and their, you know, high profile bullface names?
I guess they're just your mates, aren't they?
There's people who are just our friends. Yeah, but they also think they're the coolest. But like, to McFly, my bandmates, for example, my boys love the guys. Like they, the best thing for them is just to come to our studio and hang out, or come to a show and hang out backstage, because they just, you know, they love hanging out with the guys, and not because they are in McFly. They just love them, and it's like their uncles, you know. But this year's been the first year where I think they've been really aware of what I do band wise, because for a long, you know, we had lockdown, so there were no shows for 2 years basically, and before that the McFly was on a bit of a hiatus, so we didn't have any shows. So this has been the first year where they've really got to see what I do on stage, and it's just I've seen some like core memories being formed with, especially with Buzz, where he's just really absorbing that it's a pretty cool thing to be in a band, and you know, to be on stage and play guitar and have people sing your songs. But like, he just is, I'm witnessing him absorb that in the same way that I did when I was a kid. So my dad was in a band that played, you know, like pubs and clubs and British Legions and working men's clubs and things. But I looked up to him and idolized him, you know, when I was the same age that my kids are now. So I've kind of seen that happen for the first time this summer. And that's been amazing.
Finally, your long-term plans of creating this musical career have come to fruition, because you're now an idol to your boys. Job done, finally.
yes. Basically, also, but they are also my toughest critic, and you know, totally don't care about the things that I really care about, that I really want them to care about. But they're just like, yeah, can you don't play that one again? Don't play that song. That one's rubbish.
That's brilliant. They are your harsh. One of my friend's husbands is a musician, and they're your absolute harshest critics, aren't they?
Oh yeah. Massively. But it's just brilliant, because they just don't have a filter. They're completely honest. That's why I love testing out my book ideas with them. So I'm like, no one else. That's one thing. Like, when you, the more kind of, you know, success you have or famous you get, people don't ever tell you the truth and say no to you, or tell you you suck when you suck. But your kids will. So like, they're
hell
the best.
Yes,
person.
They will.
Yeah, like they're the best person to go to and be like, look, I've got this idea, or I've got this song, what do you think? And they literally say, no, that bit there, what does that mean? That doesn't make any sense. You need to change that. But I'm like, okay, this is great. I literally, all we do in McFly now is go back and be like, right, so my kid said this about this bit. My kid can't understand what we're saying here.
Well, you've all got loads of you got kids. So.
Yeah, we're breeding, like we've bred our kind of target audience.
Well, your target audience used to be me when I was a kid, and now it's my 10-year-old daughter.
It's been the first year where we're really seeing, it's one of the other inspirations for doing the album for Space Band was at McFly gigs now. We're seeing so many like 10-year-olds in the audience that know every word to our songs, and people come along and be like, oh, my kid is playing guitar because of your band, and feel like, okay, we've reached an age where a lot of our fans have kids who are, you know, 8, 9, 10. So just trying to like be like, well, if we can be the first band that they come to, that's amazing. Like, I love it when someone says, you were my first band, you were my first concert, I got into music because of you. So I kind of feel like, well, my job as an author now is to be like, look, my real passion is music. If you read this book, this whole other world is out there of music. It doesn't have to be McFly, but just, you know, if I can inspire them to pick up a guitar or drumsticks or play piano or sing, then, you know, that's kind of my aim, I guess, with Space Band.
I wanted to kind of go off on a more serious tangent. You've spoken openly about mental health, depression, eating disorders. Does your experience of mental health issues help you parent your boys?
Oh, I absolutely think so. Yeah, 100%. It certainly makes me so aware of spotting things. I feel like I realized I had, well, look, mental health is something we all have, and I feel like I, looking back through my life, noticed things really early on, even as young as my son is now, you know, when I was like 8, 9, 10, being able to just spot things in your kids who think, oh, do you know, I wonder how that, I remember being like that and not saying stuff to my parents or not saying stuff to my friends, being able to just sit down and talk with them about things. There's a great advert on TV, I forget what it was for, whether it's a charity or something, but where it's a daughter and a dad speaking, and it has them speaking on a sofa and then subtitles of what the daughter's really thinking. And it's about her friend at school that she's arguing with. And the dad kind of says, are you okay? She says, yeah, fine, whatever. And the subtitles come up saying, no, I'm really struggling, or something like that, of what she's actually feeling. And we watched, it was in the adverts actually, of when we're watching stuff about the Queen with the kids. And I said to the kids, do you understand that advert, what that meant? And it opened up this whole other conversation about like, look, this, it means it's okay to like, to talk to me about the stuff. We literally had this big, deep conversation about the things that you might not initially talk to me about when I say, how was your day at school? And they say, yeah, it's fine. You know, it's okay to tell me the things that aren't fine as well. So, yeah, I mean, and I don't know if I would have been as equipped to deal with all of that stuff if I hadn't gone through what I've been through in my life. You know, because it's like everyone, you know, the things that we go through, good and bad, shape who we are and, you know, become your toolbox to dealing with, you know, my toolbox as a parent.
But the only thing we have to help our kids navigate is our own experience of what happened. And how we choose to share that with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's why I've never been like, you know, like my kids have seen me cry.
Yeah, but you cry all the time. You publicise the fact that every movie, Strictly, you blubbed your way through Strictly.
No, I remember one time though, where I can't remember what happened. I was sad about it or stressed about something. And Buzz just, and I just thought, I'm not going to go and hide. And Buzz just said, he said to me, are you stressed, Dad? You look really stressed. And I think I'd been crying or something. And I was like, yeah, do you know, I am really stressed, Buzz. Like, life's really stressful at the moment. And I just explained to him, I've got too much going on.
I can't say no.
Can't say no. I'm doing a tour and Strictly and try, you know, and all this other stuff. So, yeah, we're very honest with our kids like that.
Deep down, is Tom an author? Is he a singer? Is he a songwriter? I'm not going to say, is he a dad? Because that will obviously come first and foremost, as will a husband, she says, hopefully. But which one are you?
I saw something that kind of struck a chord with me this morning on Instagram or something where it said, it's some sort of famous quote that you guys might know, but I didn't know it. And I'm doing a terrible job already of explaining it, where they said, if you say the thing that you are. Oh, what is it? Something like if you decide to be, if you know what you are, that's the thing you will become. And that's that's your burden or something like that. That's the price you pay is becoming that thing. And I feel like that it just hit me because I was like, actually the beauty of what I do is I don't really know what I am. Like I love being an author. I love being a musician. Obviously I love being a dad, but also I'd like, there's so many other things I want to do. You know, I wanted to be a pilot and I wanted to do all these other things. I feel like I've not really figured out who I am or what I want to do with my life. That's why like I'm working on a musical and a movie, a lot of stuff that in fairness is to do with entertainment and, you know, the arts and things. But, you know, I had aspirations to act and to sing, but I also love being behind the scenes and writing. So I feel like I don't know, to answer your question, it's a very long-winded answer to that question. I don't have a clue what I am or who I am.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you so much for joining us and telling us about your life.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a lovely chat.